It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price, down the home stretch.
We're rounding the corner.
This guy's gone around the bend if he thinks we turn the corner.
That is our top story at noon. Just over 2 weeks to go, folks, before the election and both campaigns out in full force.
We're going to win the state of Nevada. We're going to win four more years in the White House.
Things are getting worse.
President Trump in the Southwest, Joe Biden in the Southeast, as early voting got underway in six more states today, including Florida. Correspondent Weijia Jiang says the president's campaign schedule from now until Election Day is jam-packed.
The Trump campaign is using its 2016 playbook for the final stretch, pointing to the president's stacked campaign events as one reason why he won. Mr. Trump will make campaign stops every day from now until November 3rd, with up to five a day in some cases. This week, he plans to hold rallies in Arizona, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina.
Weijia Jiang reporting President Trump in Arizona today and in Erie, Pennsylvania tomorrow. Joe Biden taking today off. He's getting ready for Thursday night's final debate in Nashville. DNC Chairman Tom Perez says even though most polls show Biden with a sizable lead, they're not taking any chances.
Well, I always caution people never get on the polar coaster. We take nothing for granted.
One big thing helping Joe Biden right now: early voting.
Democrats tell us that they're supporting Joe Biden. They're casting their ballots early. And we see a big lead for Joe Biden among ballots that have already been cast in both Arizona and Wisconsin.
Pollster Anthony Silvanto says more than 27 million Americans have already voted, and Election Day still more than 2 weeks away. Senate Republicans want the head of Twitter to testify about his decision last week to block a New York Post story that was critical of Joe and Hunter Biden.
Silicon Valley makes Michael Moore look like a featured CPAC speaker, right? I mean, we're seeing it at Facebook and we're seeing it at Twitter.
Media critic Joe Concha says social media's blatant bias is especially troubling considering a recent Pew Research poll.
62% of adults get their news from social media. They scroll through Twitter. Three-fourths get it through email pushes from social media. So when you say, well, the media is, you know, it's ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Washington Post, New York Times. It's more and more social media, and that is what's influencing at this point. And the influencers are overwhelmingly Democrat and trying to push an election in one direction.
Concha says Twitter and Facebook are trying to brainwash people into voting for Joe Biden. The U.S. Senate will take up another COVID-19 stimulus bill this week. It is not expected to go anywhere, though.
There's going to be a vote on Tuesday in the Senate for paycheck protection extension. There's a vote in the Senate on Wednesday on this so-called skinny bill. Those votes are probably going nowhere.
Stuart Varney at Fox Business says House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has given the president an ultimatum.
Get a deal by tomorrow and I want $2.2 trillion or we walk and there's nothing done by the election. What you've got here is confusion. A vote in the Senate that's going nowhere, an ultimatum from the Speaker, and a big new offer from the president.
Over the weekend, President Trump announced he's willing to go even higher than what Nancy Pelosi wants. But with the election just 2 weeks away, it remains to be seen whether or not both sides can come together and get a deal done. Public health officials fear the U.S. may be battling a third wave of the coronavirus in at least 38 states.
You cannot say that we're on the road to essentially getting out of this.
The next 6 to 12 weeks are going to be the darkest of the entire pandemic.
The experts are concerned about an uptick in COVID cases in rural states like North and South Dakota. Scientists say COVID fatigue may be to blame here.
Unfortunately, the virus is not tired of us, and so we have to remain vigilant.
Worldwide, the COVID case count has topped 40 million. 8 million of those are in the U.S. Now, experts saying it's probably not a good idea to go to grandma's house for Thanksgiving.
At this point, we are really recommending not to have any kind of gatherings, and even to the point of family gatherings where people from different households, they're getting together is a risk too.
The experts say the upcoming holiday season could act as a super spreader event for COVID-19. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear two cases that rise up from the southern border. One has to do with the president's asylum program. The other has to do with Mr. Trump's border wall. Both cases won't matter, though, if Joe Biden wins the election. Over 3,000 people have left their homes in Colorado as a raging wildfire burns out of control there, including this guy.
If the structure can be saved, it will be because fire officials are up there doing it. It won't be because of luck. I don't think we have luck on our side anymore.
The Cameron Peak fire has been burning since mid-August and is now the largest wildfire in Colorado state history.
It's peaked my anxiety to 200% higher than it was.
The wildfire now about 65% contained. In Utah's Zion National Park, a 38-year-old woman went missing for 12 days. Her daughter was confident she'd be fine.
I know she would not give up on me, so I refuse to give up on her.
Yesterday, search crews finally found the woman after getting a tip from someone in the park who spotted her, and we are happy to report today that that woman is okay. The World Series now set.
The Dodgers come from behind in the series. They come from behind in Game 7.
The Los Angeles Dodgers beating the Atlanta Braves last night to punch their ticket to the Fall Classic. First baseman Cody Bellinger, the hero last night.
We've been in this situation before, and we were grinding. It was a team win. Atlanta Braves are an amazing team. It was not an easy series, and that was fun right there.
And the Dodgers taking on the Tampa Bay Rays tomorrow night for Game 1 of the World Series. Still to come this Monday, President Trump in Erie, COVID testing in the Southern Tier, and Pennsylvania added to the list.
Good afternoon. We're tracking rain on the radar scope this afternoon. I'll be back with the complete forecast coming up shortly.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, Monday, October 19th. Trump on the stump in Erie, PA. Tomorrow night, the president will take his campaign to Northwest Pennsylvania with a political pep rally at the airport. Political analyst Hallie Jackson says the Commonwealth is crucial this election season.
Pennsylvania is really interesting. It's 20 electoral votes. It's probably, according to experts, the tipping point for either campaign to hit that threshold that they need to win.
President Trump has been to the Keystone State over half a dozen times since September. Later this week, former President Barack Obama heads to Philly to campaign for Joe Biden. Well, for the first time since the New York State travel advisory was enacted during the COVID-19 pandemic, border states are projected to be added to it. Tomorrow, Governor Andrew Cuomo is expected to announce 5 more states to his travel advisory list, and among those states will be Pennsylvania. The other 4 include Arizona, Connecticut, Maryland, and New Jersey. Again, the official announcement expected tomorrow. Relatives who lost loved ones in New York nursing homes are calling for an investigation and an apology from Governor Andrew Cuomo.
We need to ask Governor Cuomo to take responsibility and be accountable for his actions.
Protesters held a mock funeral in Brooklyn at a nursing home where dozens of people died. A silver casket was on display containing Cuomo's new book that praises his response to the pandemic. Demonstrators say the governor signed a death sentence for their loved ones when he ordered COVID patients into nursing homes at the start of the health crisis. Gym owners across New York State have filed a class action lawsuit against the governor over his COVID-19 shutdown orders.
At the end of the day, this is just a slow bleed.
Charlie Cassara is the owner of SC Fitness in Suffolk County, New York. He says Governor Cuomo's reopening plan has resulted in thousands of businesses closing for good.
We have 100% of the bills with 33% occupancy. No one's coming back to the gym. Governor Cuomo has done his job, and his job is to keep people fearful of the one thing that can help them, and that's actually getting fit and staying healthy.
Attorney James Myrmagus is representing the gyms and health clubs involved in the class action lawsuit. He says that suit should be filed by the end of the week.
This is for everybody in New York State. This is to remove all his emergency powers, all the restrictions. Businesses are falling apart. And now with this micromanaging of these clusters, it's just going to get worse. And enough's enough.
Amirmagus says New York's COVID infection rate has been among the lowest in the country over the past 4 months. Yet many businesses are still not allowed to operate at 100% capacity. Governor Cuomo says the state is making plans right now to administer the COVID-19 vaccine.
This is a larger operational undertaking, I would argue, than anything we have done during COVID to date.
The governor, who has said in the past that he doesn't trust the federal government to distribute the vaccine, says all kinds of facilities will be used.
This is going to be a massive undertaking. Hospitals, urgent care facilities, primary care facilities, pharmacies, local Department of Health, mobile units.
Cuomo says the National Guard might also be used to help distribute the vaccine once it's ready. Schools in the Northwest Area District in Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, closed for the next 2 weeks after a staff member tested positive for COVID. All sports at that district canceled as well. Meantime, the Homer Brank Elementary School in Endwell, New York, has moved to all remote learning for the rest of this week after several cases of COVID were reported there. Nearly $1.5 billion in federal coronavirus aid to Pennsylvania still unspent. Family Life's Terry Diener says you can blame partisan politics for that.
How and when to spend the $1.3 billion has become more contentious as the prospect of more federal financial help for Pennsylvania remains unclear. Any spending in Harrisburg must be approved by the Republican-controlled state legislature, and its leaders reportedly have said Democratic Governor Tom Wolf hurt the state with overly broad shutdowns during the pandemic. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Free rapid COVID testing sites are operating all this week in New York's southern tier. Chemung County will test residents tomorrow through Saturday at the Washington Elementary School in Elmira. Steuben County conducting free testing today through Friday at the Beartown Road Alliance Church and Painted Post. COVID testing will also be done at the town of Allegheny Fire Hall in Cattaraugus County and at the Allegheny County Health Department in Belmont. Governor Cuomo says ski resorts will be allowed to open with restrictions starting November 6th. Masks will be required and social distancing will be enforced.
If you ski in New York, not only do you have the best skiing in the United States, but you don't have to quarantine when you come back.
Resorts will be limited to half capacity and just 25% capacity on the slopes during those peak times. The governor also announcing over the weekend that some movie theaters outside of New York City will be allowed to reopen this coming weekend. Enforcement of New York's ban on plastic bags took effect today. That ban, which was implemented back in March, has yet to be enforced. Today, that all changes. Grief counselors on hand today at Medina High School in Western New York as students mourn the death of a recent graduate. Cheyenne Farewell was one of six people shot at a Halloween party over the weekend in Lockport.
She was best friends with everyone, and everyone loved her.
Over 100 people gathering for a candlelight vigil last night to remember the fallen teenager. A GoFundMe page has already been set up. It's raised $25,000 to help out that family. A police investigation into the shooting continues. New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand in Elmira today. She's talking about legislation to support live event venues. The Democrat holding a press conference this afternoon at the Clemens Center to promote her Restart initiative. The Clemens Center has been shut down for 7 months because of the COVID-19 pandemic and does not plan to reopen until next spring. Well, the Fall Classic is now set. Sunny time. Your two-minute drill.
Yeah, Bill, the World Series is set. Dodgers heading to the World Series, beating the Braves 4-3 in Game 7 of the National League Championship Series in Arlington. Cody Bellinger homered in the seventh for the lead as the Dodgers overcame a 3-1 series deficit. They'll take on the Tampa Bay Rays in this year's Fall Classic. Tampa Bay punched its World Series ticket with a 4-2 win against the Astros Game 7 of the American League Championship Series Saturday. In San Diego, the Rays blew a 3-0 series lead before winning Game 7 to advance to the NFL. Minka Fitzpatrick had a pick six in the first quarter. The Steelers never looked back, crushing the Browns 38-7. Pittsburgh 5-0 for the first time since 1978. Head coach Mike Tomlin.
Man, really excited for our group, man. That was varsity ball today.
They stepped up and stepped up big, really kind of all across the board, and met a challenge versus a very good and a team that was very hot.
The Browns fall to 4-2. Two-point conversions failing. Kyle Allen's two-point conversion attempt failed late as the Giants held on to beat the Washington football team 20-19 in East Rutherford to improve to 1-5. Head coach Joe Judge.
You hit this point right here, you just want to make sure you get the results. And I'm happy the fans were able to have it. You know, I'm happy the players were able to enjoy it today.
The Eagles rallied against the Ravens, but their two-point conversion with 1:55 left in the game also failed, falling to the Ravens 30-28.
There's a lot of good we can learn from. And the fight and the effort is something that I'm so proud of these guys. To give us a chance to tie it up at the end of the game, obviously we came up short.
That's Carson Wentz. The Eagles are 1-4-1. And the Dolphins made easy work of the hapless Jets, a 24-0 shutout victory. The Jets are 0-6. Head coach Adam Gase.
Too many penalties in the first half really hurt us. We can't have six penalties like that in the first half and then one in the second. That's definitely got to get cleaned up.
It's a Monday Night Football doubleheader. The Chiefs and Bills meet in Buffalo at 5 o'clock. The nightcap, the Cardinals visit the Cowboys in the second game. And in NASCAR in Kansas City, Joey Logano is your winner. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphia.
Great job as always. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Monday edition of the Noon Report, President Trump in Erie, early voting in Florida, and breathable bacon in a face mask.
It's one thing for the state to punish people of faith. It's another thing to punish them based on hypotheticals. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Shortly after her birth in September 2019, a baby girl identified in Idaho court records only as HV was removed from parental custody. The state then asked the girl's great-grandparents, the Blazes, to consider caring for her. The Blazes agreed and then began the process of becoming licensed foster care providers in the state of Washington, where they live. But in Washington, becoming a foster parent requires more than just proving financial capacity and ability to provide emotional support. It actually requires agreeing with the state on what it means to care for foster children who, quote, are developing, discovering, or identifying themselves as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning. And so, in the process of becoming licensed to care for their own great-granddaughter, the Blazes were asked to react to hypotheticals, such as, what if HV wanted to undergo hormone therapy to change her sexual appearance? Or, what if HV wanted to dress like a boy and be called by a boy's name? Again, remember, HV is one. The Blazes are devout Seventh-day Adventists, so they told the licensor that their Christian faith obliges them to love and support all people, especially children who feel isolated and uncomfortable, but in the unlikely event that HV would develop gender dysphoria, they'd provide her with loving, medically, and therapeutically appropriate care consistent with both accepted medical principles and their beliefs as Seventh-day Adventists and Christians. The state licensor expressed great alarm and told the Blazes that their application would likely be denied since their responses conflicted with the department's policy to support LGBTQ children. Thankfully, last week, federal court judge Salvador Mendoza, an Obama appointee, ruled in the favor of the Blazes, effectively blocking the state from automatically banning those who have religiously based objections to this department policy from ever becoming foster parents. The department's policies, wrote Mendoza, only burdens potential caregivers who have sincere religious beliefs, since it is those with religious beliefs most likely to object to the policy. Even more, he said, the policies probably favor certain secular viewpoints over certain religious viewpoints, also a violation of religious liberties. Judge Mendoza's ruling was not only strong, it clarified how the state is expected to handle the religious freedom of citizens, while not rejecting that the state could have interest when it comes to LGBTQ kids. The regulations must be applied in a neutral manner. Mendoza's emphasis on the lack of neutrality here relies on the Supreme Court ruling in Employment Division versus Smith. You see, Washington State is required to prove that its regulations not only serve a compelling state interest, but that they are enforcing them in the least intrusive means possible. Obviously, in this case, they did not. The state of Washington will likely appeal this ruling. And even if upheld, the state of Washington may try to find a bureaucratic way to deny the Blazes a foster care license. After all, government officials who are so easily alarmed about religious belief tend to be a pretty vindictive bunch. You can just ask Colorado cake designer Jack Phillips. By the way, it's important to note that Washington's foster care system has been described as dysfunctional. Its difficulty in retaining qualified foster parents are well documented. So turning away people whose faith offends the state, when it's their faith that's motivating them in the first place to provide the care for needy children, well, that just makes no sense. Children have long been the victims of the sexual revolution. Thank you, Judge Mendoza, for refusing to allow little HV to be victimized. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
We are coming up on 20 minutes past the hour. Your work week forecast with meteorologist Kevin Williams is next.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Much of the region will be seeing rain this afternoon and tonight. This as a disturbance crosses the area on a weather front. The expectation is the rain will taper tomorrow afternoon, and then in its wake, temperatures will rise toward warmer levels on Wednesday. In the meantime, for this afternoon, cloudy with periods of rain and fog for most. A couple of scattered showers is all for eastern Pennsylvania. Temperatures peaking in the mainly in the upper 40s to the upper 50s from northwest to southeast across the area. Cloudy tonight into tomorrow, some rain or showers, 40s and low 50s tonight. Then it dries out tomorrow afternoon, but clouds linger. High temperatures 50s to near 60. Then for Wednesday, warmer day, a couple of showers, clouds break for a little sun in spots. High temperatures Wednesday, not far from 70.
Okay, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today. Monday, October 19th, Pennsylvania added to the list for the first time since the New York State Travel Advisory was enacted during the COVID-19 pandemic. Border states are projected to be added to it. Tomorrow, Governor Andrew Cuomo is expected to announce five more states to his travel advisory list, and among those states will be Pennsylvania. The Keystone State is in the middle of the presidential spotlight. Family Life's Brandon Dixon has more.
After a flurry of visits by both the Biden and Trump teams over the weekend, the Commonwealth will once again host another campaign event tomorrow. President Trump will be back in Erie for the second time in as many weeks. The Commander-in-Chief will speak at the airport at 7 p.m. Tuesday. Trump has now been to the Keystone State over half a dozen times since September. This as his running mate, Vice President Mike Pence, is in York County this afternoon. Meanwhile, on Wednesday, former President Barack Obama will be in Philadelphia to campaign for Biden. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. A coronavirus relief package and a Supreme Court nomination. They'll be at the top of their agenda as the U.S. Senate reconvened today. The return to work was delayed for 2 weeks after two Republican senators tested positive for COVID-19. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi meeting today with Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. They're going to try and hash out a COVID relief bill.
They changed shall to may, requirements to recommendations, a plan to a strategy.
The two sides still at odds over tax credits for lower-income workers and funding for state and local governments. Well, with COVID cases spiking across the country, the experts are concerned about colder weather and the return to those indoor gatherings.
We cannot manage a long surge. And with the weather getting worse, with Halloween, Thanksgiving coming on, people are more likely to have indoor social gatherings. We absolutely have to have the public change their practice and make some sacrifice.
Dr. Russell Vinick is at the University of Utah. Today, the global COVID case count topped 40 million. Well, there's a sign air travel is slowly coming back. Yesterday, the TSA said it screened more than a million passengers for the first time since mid-March. The American Dental Association says a lot of folks have canceled dental appointments during the pandemic, and plenty of those patients still have concerns about going back.
99% of dental offices have reopened. The number of patient visits is still down about 20%. The ADA predicts dentists will have to raise fees to make up for the lost business. Many family practices will close.
That's Deborah Rodriguez reporting. We are coming up on 25 minutes past the hour on Monday afternoon. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
Good afternoon and welcome to Homeschool Roundtable on Family Life. I'm your host, news anchor Sarah Harnish. Millions of Americans are finding themselves inadvertent homeschoolers this year, with some schools going fully virtual, some requiring masks and social distancing rules that parents don't align with. With me is Danielle Peters today, mom to five homeschool sons who lives in Corning, New York. She's an author, she is a speaker, she is a mentor, and she's a very gifted homeschooler with a seasoned record of dealing with five boys every single day. So, Danielle, can you debunk a common question that is asked of most homeschoolers? Matter of fact, I would even say this is the first question that most homeschoolers ask. What about socialization? You're home all the time. You just had a run-in with this with a brand new homeschooler this week. There are people that have their kids virtual schooling right now and are thinking, you know, this really isn't working for us. Tell me about a run-in with a woman that you had this week and your dialogue on socialization.
She's thinking about homeschooling. Things aren't really going the way she thought this fall. And her first concern is socializing her kids. And really my first thought on that is we have to kind of identify what socialization means. What is this big word and what is this concept? It's really this idea that you have to allow somebody to learn values, language, culture, behavior, the social skills that allow them to function in a normal community. And when you think about that definition, so much of that is actually already taught in the home. Your student is only as weird as you are. The culture of your family is what creates your kids. So if you're a social family like we are, then you'll naturally develop social kids. If you're a more quiet family, maybe a little more introverted as a parent, well, that's probably going to come through in your homeschooling as well.
You've got some strategic points to kind of debunk some of the socialization fears, and they all start with the letter I. Can you run through those with me?
Truthfully, there's so much out there that's available to homeschoolers that we always joke that the hardest part is sometimes to tailor your schedule back. We could be out socializing every day of the week and get no actual academics done. There's that many opportunities that exist. So really be looking in your community for homeschool groups, for sport leagues, for interspace clubs, events at your church, serving in your community. And let me just say right here, this is an odd season, right? COVID has made it odd for all of us, even us veteran homeschoolers. Some of these things that have existed in the community before are now being postponed or shut down temporarily. So that kind of brings me to my next point, which is to initiate, to create what doesn't exist. That's been a huge part of our homeschooling journey. When I couldn't find a homeschool group that was close enough to my home, I had young babies at the time. I didn't want to be traveling 20, 30 miles out for a group. I didn't want to be teaching like a co-op would have. And so I started an enrichment group with a couple other homeschool moms, and we hired instructors and we found a location and we took the initiative ourselves to create what didn't exist. And that's a great thing to do at this period of time. And this could be as simple as inviting other homeschool families on a field trip or a hike or to the park, or for instance, our family is preparing for an outdoor movie night this Friday to allow some of our kids to have their friends over. These become family events because we invite the entire families to come. And I think this is a good way, again, to create that culture that's learned at home, which is Paul's command to practice hospitality. So initiate. Mm. And the fourth one I want to say is being intentional. Like I said, there's almost so much out there that you could get overwhelmed and you think you've got to put your homeschool student in every single group or sport or homeschool group you see because they all sound so interesting. But the truth is you got to be intentional or you just run yourself ragged. So you got to know your family. You got to know your student. You got to know yourself. What works with their interests and what works with your family schedule or your budget? So the three things I was thinking about when it comes to being intentional with what opportunities you get involved in to help your child socialize and get into the community is to really look for things that builds into their God-given gifts and passion and something that provides opportunities for solid friendship and also that works within your family parameters. Yes, yes, and yes. This is something that is worth us putting our time, our money, our effort in. That's how you make an intentional decision to get your students involved. With five boys, I can't be involved in it all. So I really have to be thinking about, does this build into their God-given abilities? Does it work in our family parameters? And does it create an opportunity for them to create the kind of friendships that I'd like to see in their life?
One last element of socialization that I want to bring up that we never talk about is the impact of siblings on each other. Can you speak to that?
Having five boys, and you have a big family too, what you actually recognize, sometimes their best friendships become their brothers. My boys all have other friends, but I love that their best relationships, the ones that they have the most time with, that they're really building, it's all happening right here on any given day.
And their brothers are a little older or a little younger, so they're getting wisdom from their older brothers, like Isaiah sitting down teaching Noah how to do his knots for scouting because he already went through it. He already knows it. Or them mentoring each other in math or reading, you know, when different sons have different strengths.
I just don't think my boys would be as close as they are if they were all off at school in different classrooms and different school buildings all day. I don't think they'd have the same kind of bond that they do.
All right, guys, thanks for that. It's called Homeschool Roundtable. Comes your way Mondays during the noon report. You can also catch it online anytime at fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Much of the region will be seeing rain this afternoon and tonight. This as a disturbance crosses the area on a weather front. The expectation is the rain will taper tomorrow afternoon, and then in its wake, temperatures will rise toward warmer levels on Wednesday. In the meantime, for this afternoon, cloudy with periods of rain and fog for most. A couple of scattered showers is all for eastern Pennsylvania. Temperatures peaking in the mainly in the upper 40s to the upper 50s from northwest to southeast across the area. Cloudy tonight into tomorrow, some rain or showers, 40s and low 50s tonight. Then it dries out tomorrow afternoon, but clouds linger. High temperatures, 50s to near 60. Then for Wednesday, warmer day, a couple of showers. Clouds break for a little sun in spots. High temperatures Wednesday, not far from 70.
All right, Kevin Williams, finally at noontime, everything is better with bacon, and Ormel Foods thinks that applies to face masks, too. Here's Family Life's Bob Price.
Yeah, Bill, it's called the Ormel Breathable Bacon Face Mask. The mask features the latest in pork-scented technology with a two-ply multi-fiber cloth so you can breathe in that sweet scent of bacon all day long. Bacon fans better hurry, though. You only have until October 28th to log on to breathablebacon.com to enter for a chance to win this limited edition face mask. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. Breathable bacon. That's what I'm talking about. That is the world we live in for your Monday. As always, thanks for joining us this afternoon. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.